Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Kuf Vav Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Before we start, just a quick reminder about the Parshiot HaShomrim that we find in Parshat Mishpatim. There is the Parshia of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and Shoel, which are three out of the four Shomrim. Socher, we have seen before, there's a machloket in the Tanaim as to whether Socher has the same din as a Shomer Sachar, or the same din as a Shomer Chinam, but he'll be subsumed under that category. In the Parshia of Shomer Chinam, it says, V'chi yitein ish el re'ehu kesef o kelim lishmor, v'gunav v'beit ha'ish, im yimatzei ha'ganav, yishalem shnayim, v'im lo yimatzei ha'ganav, v'nikrav bal ha'bayit el Elohim, im lo shalach yado b'melechet re'ehu. Then he goes to, the Elohim here means the judges, the court, the Beit Din. And the Gemara Darshan Zevnikra Balabait Elohim means that he takes a Shvu'ah. Im lo shalach yado melechet re'ehu, that he didn't personally utilize, misappropriate the object that he was watching. Al kol davar pesha, al shorah chamor, al se'al salma, al kol aveidah. We've spoken about this klal upratu klal before, that on any item this is true. Asher yomar, that he says, ki hu zeh, Ad Elohim yavod dvar shnehem, asher yashinu Elohim yishalem shnayim nereehu. So there, the Gemara learns from this, asher yomar ki hu zeh, that he says that this is it. Now, ki hu zeh means, and the Gemara darshins this to mean, modeh b'miktzat, that he says that he agrees with part of the claim, but he disagrees with the other part of the claim. So then, it will be adjudicated by the judges. If he's incriminated, this is the case of Tawain Tanat Ganav, then yishalem shnayim nereehu, he'll have to pay kefel. So now you have here in the Parshat HaShomrim, in the middle of Shomer Chinam, speaks about an issue of modeh b'miktzat. And that's what we're going to discuss today. How does that modeh b'miktzat relate to Shomer Chinam, or does it relate to it at all? After that, you have the Parshia of Shomer Sachar. Again, over there, it has a very similar feel to that of Shomer Chinam, just that he has more responsibilities, that b'gneiv v'aveidah, he doesn't have the right to get himself out of the problem. And there again it says, Shvat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, im lo shalach yado memlechet reyu. Again, he has to take a shvu'ah that he didn't misappropriate, he didn't utilize the object, v'kach v'alav v'lo yishalem. That pasuk we already saw, that the Balim accept the shvu'ah, and then all claims are dropped at that point in time. And then the last parshia there is the parshia of Shoel, v'chi ish'al ish me'im reyu. If you borrow it, then you're responsible for everything, with the exception of Meita Machlat Melacha. And the last parshia is Im Sachirhu Babischaro. But that, again, we talked about the Socher being subsumed under the other parshiot. Now, we have another statement here, like yesterday, where we had many statements from Rabbi Yochanan that were brought by Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba. Here's an additional statement by Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan with regards to Shomrim. And here he says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a Tawain Tanat Ganav B'Pikadon, person who makes a Tanav Gneva on a Pikadon, he was entrusted with the object, and then he claims that it was stolen. Eno Chayav Ad Shikfor B'Mitzvat V'Odeh B'Miktzat. He's not Chayav until he denies a portion of the claim, and he admits to a portion of the claim. In other words, he requires to have Modeh B'Miktzat over here in order to be Chayav. My time, what's the reason? Amar Kra, ki hu zeh. The pasuk says ki hu zeh, and as we mentioned before, ki hu zeh references this idea of modeh b'miktzat, that he admits to a portion of the claim against him. It's found in the middle of the parshia of Shomer Chinam, and therefore we would assume that a Shomer Chinam, in order to be chayav, requires that you are modeh b'miktzat, and you're kofer b'miktzat. You admit to a portion of it, and you deny a portion of it. Gemara says, upliga de Rav Chir bar Yosef. This argues on Rabbi Chir bar Yosef. Amar Rabbi Chir bar Yosef. Chir bar Yosef says, Eruv parshiot katuv kan. We have a interweaving, a mixture of parshiot that are found over here. So now, we're going to explain the Gemara now according to Rashi. We'll come back later and discuss the other alternatives. So that we have Eruv parshiot kivtan. B'chiktiv kihuze. So when the parshia says kihuze, it's not speaking about a Shomer Chinam. Ela, it's speaking about a milvehu dichtiv. It is speaking about a loan or a case of borrowing money, as Rashi notes over here, which is im kesef taveh tami, that it references to that sugya or that topic in the parsha, which is that of Im Kesef Talveh Ami. So it's talking about a loan, not a time, a case or a situation in which something was deposited with a shomer. What's so different about a milveh? The way that Rashi is learning this now is, ki uzeh is a misplaced pasuk or portion of a pasuk that is found in the parshiyah of Shomer Chinam. It really belongs or is discussing the issue of a milveh of a loan, and the two shall never meet. When you say Erev Parshiyot Kan, it means that Pikadon has its own rules, milveh has its own rules. The rules of milveh are that you're only chayav shvua if you are modeh b'miktzat. You borrow money, and now there's a claim that you borrowed the money, and you deny that claim. If you're a kofer bakol, if you deny the whole thing, you are patur. On the other hand, if you are b'modeh b'miktzat, we're going to force you to take a shvua because of this pasuk of kihuzeh. That's all in the world of milveh. On the other hand, when it comes to the world of pikadon, it does not matter whether you deny the whole thing, kofer bakol, or your modeh b'miktzat. In both of those instances, according to Rashi, you will take a shvua. Gemara asks the question, what's the difference? Why is milveh different than pikadon? So my answer is, k'derabba, like Rabba's explanation. Damar Rabba, mipnei ma'amra Torah, modeh b'miktzat ha'tana, yishava. Why is it that the Torah says, when you are modeh b'miktzat, you should take a shvua? Because chazaka, ein adam me'iz panav bifnei bal chovo. Person is not so brazen to deny a claim of his creditor. The reason Rashi says is, mipnei sho'oseh lo tova. He did him a favor. When he lent him money, it really is a favor. Here we're talking about alpi, the rules of the Torah, which means they lent him money without any interest. So the person who's lending him money is really out the money with no gain. And here he lent him the money. So now, how could he go and deny a claim against him when this guy did him a big favor? It would just be something that psychologically he couldn't do because of the fact that this person was so good to him. Because of that, he won't be able to deny the claim. He should have denied the whole claim. Why didn't he deny the whole claim? Because he's unwilling to face his creditor and deny the truth. The truth is, then, he should have admitted to the whole amount. And he should say, yes, I do owe you the money. So then why does he deny a portion of it? If I admit to the whole amount, they're going to ask me to pay it right now. I'm going to have to pay the whole amount. I don't have that amount to pay. I'll get out of it a little bit. I'll not deny the whole claim because that would be embarrassing. This guy did me such a nice thing. I'll pay him half now. And later on, when I get the money, I'll pay him the remaining amount. So what he's doing for himself is buying himself time. But in the way that he buys himself time, he does not deny the whole claim. Because that should be the best way to buy yourself time, is to deny the whole claim. The reason he can't do that is because psychologically, he can't deny the claim in front of this person who's done him this tova. So therefore, he has to admit. But he doesn't want to admit the whole amount, because that'll put him in a bind where he can't pay it back. So he admits to a portion of it, and then he says, I'll get the rest back to him when I have the money to pay him back. So hilkach, Rama Rachmana Shvua Ilave. Therefore, the Torah imposed a Shvua on him. In order that he should admit to the whole amount, or should basically tell the truth. Modeh b'miktzat is already an indication of hesitation, partial guilt, and because of that, we're going to force him to take a Shvua in order to verify his words or verify the situation, so that we know that he's not lying at all. So the Torah really thought about the psychology of a debtor. And thinking about the psychology of a debtor, modeh b'miktzat is an area where the individual does not have believability. And therefore, we impose on him a shvua. Now, the truth is, without the Torah's imposition, you might have believed him. Because of, there are different reasons, one of which is a migo. A migo, which is that he could have denied the whole claim. And he would have been completely patur. The fact that he's modeh b'miktzat, that's like hashavat aveda. That's already amigo that he could have denied the whole claim, and now he admitted to half of it. He had a better claim. He could have made that claim. Instead, he's modeh b'miktzat. We should believe him. So that would have been the way we would have thought about a modeh b'mikseh had the Torah not come along and told us you have to take a shvuah. But now the Torah tells us to take a shvuah. Rabbah explains why the Torah thinks we have to take a shvuah. It's because modeh b'mikseh is an indication of guilt or some sort of problem in the situation. Now, that's gabei milveh hu de'ikah l'meimer hachi. That is only true by a loan that you can say this, because by a loan, it's skewed to the side of the creditor who's doing the tova for the debtor, and that's what presents the problem. Aval gabei pikadon, when it comes to a pikadon, you don't have that issue at all, because who's the one doing the tova? Really, it's the shomer. It is the one who's watching. If he's getting paid, then at least they're on even footing. But there's no idea here that there's any unevenness here. And therefore, me'iz u'me'iz. The shomer has no qualms about denying the claim over here, because he can look at the person who entrusted the object with him, and he didn't do anything for me. Maybe even the other way around. I've done all of this for him. I deserve it. So he will not have any inhibitions about taking the shvab kofar bakol. As Rashi says over here, therefore, afilu kafar bekule, even if he denies the whole claim, ramiya rachmana shvuale, he is chayav in a shvua. So according to this in Rashi, the case of pikadon requires a shvua both by kofar bakol and by modeh b'mikseh, because there's no reason for us to believe that this individual is telling the truth. On the other hand, by the case of a loan, since you have this migo or this idea that a person will not be kafui tov and deny the claim when someone has done a tovah to him, therefore, if he is kofar bakol, you believe him, because he's going against what would have been the natural psychology in the case, and therefore you are patur. On the other hand, if you're modeh b'mikseh, there you are chayav. We don't invoke whether it's a migo or a shavat aveda. And the Torah says he's got to take a shvuah because of this problem, which is he can't be kofar bakol because of the psychology. He's not going to admit to the whole amount. Modeh b'mikseh is a way for him to slide out of the problem or buy himself time, and therefore the Torah imposes a shvuah on him. That is the way that Rashi learns. There are a couple of fundamentals in Rashi's position. The first of which is, when the Torah says Eruv Parshiot over here, it doesn't really mean a mix of Parshiot in the sense that it applies to both. It means Eruv Parshiot in the sense of you have two different Parshiot that have nothing to do with each other that are put together. Which is that you have in the middle of this Parshiot, Shomer Chinam, you have this Kihuzeh, which talks about Modeh B'mikseh. That's all about a loan. It's nothing to do with Shomrim whatsoever. And that's what it means, Eruv Parshiot Kan. On the other hand, Reb Chir Ba'aba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who says that you do require modeh b'mikseh even by pikadon, does not think we have Eruv Parshiot over here. He thinks that it's found in the right place. And therefore, also by the case of pikadon, we are going to require a kfira and a hodah. We're going to require a modeh b'mikseh in order to be chayav by pikadon. So that's the difference in the opinions. The other fundamental in Rashi's position is that the explanation here in the Gemara is telling us why by milveh you are chayav by modeh b'mikseh, and why by pikadon you are chayav by kofar bakol. By the case of milveh, you are chayav because of Rabbah's logic, as the fact that a person will not deny the claim because the other guy did him a tovah, so he can't be kofar bakol, that pushes him to modeh b'mikseh. So by kofar bakol you are patur, by modeh b'mikseh you are chayav. But by pikadon that does not have that tovah associated with it, the person be willing to be kofar bakol. And therefore the Torah demands a shvuah, both by kofar bakol and by modeh b'mikseh in the case of a pikadon. So that's the way that Rashi learns. The Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivan, the Tosfot over here, have two other views of the Gemara, most of which it runs, or it's an issue, because as the Tabali Tosfot point out, yesh kama mishnayot, there are many mishnayot in Shas that seem to indicate that a person's only chayav by a pikadon when he's modeh b'mikseh. And that would indicate that this is not just a din by milveh, but also a din by pikadon. The necessity to take a shvuah by pikadon would not be in a case of kofar bakol, but only in a case of modeh b'mikseh, similar to milveh. But then you have to explain the Gemara. And this is the way the Rabbeinu Tam explains it. And he says, Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Tehochi Kamar. This is what's meant here in the Gemara. Techik Tiv Kihuzeh, Al milve nami hu dichtiv. Unlike Rashi, who says eru parshiot, meaning a mix of parshiot, you have shomer, and right in the middle of shomer, you have this piece about milve that's dumped in, but they remain independent. That's not the way the Rabbeinu Tam learns it. The Rabbeinu Tam learns it on the other way around, which is eru parshiot is literally you have a mix of parshiot. Mix of parshiot means that it affects both items. It's both applicable to pikadon, as well as it is applicable to a case of milve. That when you take a shvua denying something, you need a hodah. That what it means is that you always need an admission to be chayav in a shvua. By a milveh, you only have two possibilities. Either I agree that I owe you the money, or I disagree that I owe you the money. So modeh b'miksat, by definition, will involve a modeh b'miksat and a kfirah b'miksat. You're denying a portion, you're admitting to a portion. By the case of a shomer, that's not necessarily true. A shomer has an additional claim, depending what type of shomer, but he can say, nansu, it happened by ones, and I'm patur because it was an ones. If that is the case, then what the Rabbeinu Tam says is over here, Kiyuzeh says you must admit to something. So in the case of a loan, you have to admit and deny. In the case of shomer, if he makes a claim of nansu, he has to make a claim of ones, plus he has to make a claim of modeh b'miksat, that he agrees that he owes something over here. Kfirah, denial, you do not need at all. Now, what that means that the milveh and the pikadon are speaking about the same scenario, which is you need a modeh b'miksat. You have to admit to a portion over here. And just like a milveh would be mechayev ashtei parot lechud, chadad hoda v'chadad kfirah, just like by a milvim, he says, I lent you two cows. And the guy says, you lent me one cow, not the other cow. That's a motive mixed up by milvim. So too, by pikadon, two parot. If you have two cows, he has to admit that he owes one cow and say the other cow was nanas, was taken away, or some sort of onus that I'm patur for. So if you make a claim against him, he says, I agree I owe you the one cow. The other cow was nanas. And that's the only way you're going to be chayav, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. You need modeh b'miksat. You need modeh b'miksat with something else. By milveh means modeh b'miksat, kfirah b'miksat. In the case of pikadon, it means modeh b'miksat plus modeh b'miksat and nensu. Those that disagree, like Rabbi Chiya bar Abba over here, and Rami bar Chama later on, say you need modeh b'miksat, kfirah b'miksat, and nensu. For to make a claim, you need all three of those items to be true. That means, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the only way a shomer is going to be chayav, or a shvu'ah, is in a case, according to Rabbi Chir Baba and Rami Bar Chama, is in a case where you have three objects that are there. One object, he says, I owe you. Second one, he says, I don't owe you, I deny the claim. The third one, he says, nanas. It was some sort of ones that took place over here. And that's the only way you're going to be chayav. Their machloket revolves around whether you just need modeh b'miksat or you need modeh b'miksat and kfirah b'miksat. Do you need both of those by pikadon? So according to Reb Chiya bar Yosef, the Eruv Parshiot makes it that it's equivalent to a milveh, which means that just like by a milveh, you have two parts to a claim. You just need modeh b'miksat. By a milveh, by definition, the modeh b'miksat results in a kfirah b'miksat. But by the case of pikadon, modeh b'miksat, the other claim, you have a different claim, which is nanas. And you can make that claim. That's what makes you chayav if you say eruv parshiot. On the other hand, if you don't say eruv parshiot, that means that the kihuzeh is speaking about a case of pikadon alone. And that's where you need modeh b'miksat and kfirah b'miksat. That's in pikadon. So if you want to make a claim of nanas to be chayav shua, you'll need modeh b'miksat, kfirah b'miksat, and nanas. According to those that don't hold of Eruv Parshiot. Now, once you do that, how do you know that you need Kfirah V'Hoda'ah by Milveh? How do you know that? Because now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, once you don't have Eruv Parshiot, there's no way to learn that by Milveh. He says, Shema B'Meh Matzino Yalfinu. We have to say that maybe it establishes a paradigm, maybe it's a Meh Matzino that is established over here, that we learn it out from Pikadon. That is the Rabbeinu Tam's view. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam then says, when Rabbah comes along and is explaining to you why there is modeh b'miksat by a case of milveh, why does he need that explanation? Modeh b'miksat applies to a pikadon as well. So then Rabba's explanation can't be telling me, oh, why is Moda Mitzvah Chayav B'Milva and Patur B'Pikadon? What he's coming to teach you is, why is it that Moda B'Mitzvah is Chayav and you're not Ne'eman B'Migo if you could have been Kofar B'Kol? Why are you Patur by Kofar B'Kol in a Milveh? Because in Adam Me'iz Panav Ifnei Baal Chovo. That's why if he makes such a claim and he says that he's Kofar B'Kol, that's what gives him the Patur by Kofar B'Kol. Because in Adam Me'iz Panav Bifnei Baal Chovo. And then the additional explanation is coming to teach you why Modeh B'Mikzad is Chayav then. Because otherwise, once you have Kofar B'Kol is Patur, then Modeh B'Mikzad should also be Patur because of, as we said before, Bigo, or he's a Meshiv Aveda. All of those should be true. So Rabba is coming to explain to you the logic as to why you are Patur by Kofar B'Kol, why you are Chayav by Modeh B'Mikzad. And that's what he's explaining over here. Maishna Milve, why is it that Modeh B'Mikzad is Chayav and you're not Ne'eman B'Migo if he could have been Kofar B'Kol? And then at the end of the Gemara here, where it says, Mashra K'tuv Sfarim Kavi Milvehu De'ika L'Meimer Hachi, the last line that we saw here that we read was that, oh, that's true by a milve. That's not true by a pikadon. Aval b'pikadon me'izu me'iz, lo garis le Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't put that girsa in, because Rabbeinu Tam, there is no difference between a shomer and a milve. They both have the same din. And then he says, not that he just erased it from the Gemaras, he says, u'bisfarim yishanim, in the older sfarim leta, that wasn't in the girsa at all. But then it adds at the end that even though technically by the case of Meu Zumeiz that you should be Chayav by Kofar B'Kol, nevertheless he says in the end, Umiu, Betanat Kfira, Afilu Ma'akom She'achol La'iz, even in a place where he could lie and he doesn't have that psychological barrier, Patur D'Gzerat HaKatuvi. You're a Patur because that's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk demands Kiyuzeh, and only by Modeh Mikzad you're going to be Chayav. Tosfot then goes on to ask a question both on Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam's Pshat. And then he brings the pshat, or the third explanation, that of the Riva, which tells about here, and in other places in Shas, favors this interpretation as being the proper interpretation of the Gemara over here. And there he says, V'nira k'perish Riva, he says, I think the Riva is right. V'faresh k'kitiv k'uzeh, amilvehu dichtiv, v'hilkach b'pikodon nami lo magminale ela betana d'shaycha b'milveh. What the Riva does in the end is something along the lines of Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam combined. Rashi says that when it says Eruv Parshiot, it means Milveh and not Pikadon at all. All of these dinim are unique to Milveh, it has nothing to do with Pikadon. Rabbeinu Tam says Eruv Parshiot means it applies to Milveh and Pikadon. All the dinim are the same. The Riva says you have to bifurcate the din. Any claim by a Pikadon that could also be made by a Milveh will have the same din as a Milveh. Any claim that is unique to a pikadon will not be subject to the rules of a milveh. That means that, for instance, if you come along and you make a claim of netin soup, that the object was taken from you in a way that was ones or got lost or stolen, whatever it is that would make you patur by pikadon, that type of claim is not relevant by a loan. By a loan, a claim of netin soup is meaningless. What do you mean that money was taken against your will? The money wasn't given to you. Your repayment is an obligation to repay what you took. It's not to watch a specific object, to watch specific money. Your money was supposed to be used and spent, and now you have to return whatever that value is. Nansu is not relevant over there. So in the case of Nansu, when you make a claim like that, it's not subject to the rules of Modeh B'Mikzad, Kfira B'Mikzad, because it's not similar to a loan. On the other hand, if you have a claim that is similar to that of a milveh, then it will look like a milveh, and now you will have to have the same requirements of a milveh. That means that a claim in a pikadon of denial will have the same rules as a milveh. If you're going to deny it, you're not going to be chayav in a shvuah, elim ken, you're modeh b'mikzat. Because just like by a milveh, if you're kofar b'kol, you do not have to take a shvuah, modeh b'mikzat you do, that would be the same thing by a pikadon. And therefore the Riva says, v'hachi kamar, Maishna tana d'shayecha b'milve min tanat nensu u'meisi k'rabo. That's the Gemara's question over here. Why are claims that are relevant by a loan different than claims that are relevant by a pikadon? Gave milve hu d'ik l'meimar hachi klomar. B'tana shayecha b'milve, by a case of a milve where it's relevant to say k'fira b'ho da'a, d'ein me'iz panav d'kfor b'midei d'yada b'chavrei. He says something different than Rashi, which changes the whole dynamic of the sugya here. Rashi said the reason a person is Einu Me'iz Panav B'fnei Bacho is because of the Tovah that he did for him. It was out of the goodness of his heart that he did this, and he's not willing to be Kafui Tov. What the Riva says is that's not why Einu Me'iz Panav. A person is unwilling psychologically to lie to someone who knows the truth. He can't face someone who knows the absolute truth over here. He can lie about something where the other party doesn't know the truth, but he can't bring himself to lie when the other person knows. So a claim about the actual amount or the items that are there is a claim against the party who knows the truth. The lender lent him 100. He comes back and says, no. I agree, I owe you 50. I don't owe you 50, the other 50. When he does that and he faces off against the creditor knows he gave him 100. He'll be unwilling to lie to the face of the creditor because the creditor knows that he lent him 100. And therefore he's uncomfortable lying in the face of someone who knows the truth. And the same will be true by a pikadon. Guy says, I gave you 2 cows. Guy says, no, you gave me 1 cow, not 2 cows. There again, the guy who gave him or deposited knows he gave him 2 cows, so he won't lie. On the other hand, if it's something that was deposited with him, and then what happened to the object? The person who deposited it with him has no clue what happened to the object. Here, he's on trust. He's making a claim that nobody else can verify or deny. Therefore, he's willing to lie about such a thing. So the explanation here is not an explanation as to why milve is different than pikadon. It's an explanation as to why claims that are relevant by milve are different than claims that are only relevant by pikadon. Claims that are relevant by milve all involve the other party who knows the truth. Anytime the other party knows the truth, Einu Me'iz Panav. You're not going to deny the whole thing. And that's why you're patur by kofer bakol. And that'd be true by a pikadon as well. If you're kofer bakol by a pikadon, you'll also be patur because that means you're being Me'iz Panav before someone who knows the truth. And psychologically, you can't do that. If you do that, we're going to believe you because you must be telling the truth in that instance. So that means by kofer bakol, both by milve and by pikadon, patur. Boder b'miktzat by both of those, chayav. Because that's the whole problem here. That's what Rabbah discusses, that he really wants to be kofer bakol, but he can't bring himself to do it. So he's moder b'miktzat b'chayav. Ne'ensu, that's what it says over here. Aval gabe pikadon, me'izu me'iz. When it's a claim that's only relevant by pikadon, person is willing to say whatever he wants. Because nobody knows the truth. He's the only one making the claim, and nobody else knows what happened to the object. There he will be me'iz. Therefore, if he's kofer bakol, chayav. Because over there, the kofer bakol has no meaning in the context of making such a claim. And if he makes a claim nansu, he'll have to take a shpuah. So that's the Riva's explanation. But then the Riva adds at the end that even though technically by the case of Me'u Zume'iz that you should be chayav by kofer bakol, nevertheless he says in the end, Umiu, betanat kfira, afilu ma'akom she'achol la'is, even in a place where he could lie and he doesn't have that psychological barrier, patur d'gzeirat ha'katuvi. You're a patur because that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk demands ki uzeh, and only by moda miksata you're going to be chayav. And the reason it's telling you about me'u zume'iz is because it's taking away the migo that would apply by moda b'miksat. In the case of moda b'miksat, by the case of milve or claims that are applicable by milve, over there, since kofer bakol is patur, when he's moder b'miktzat, you would think that he should be patur as well because of the migo. That migo would make him patur. And we need Rabbah's explanation to tell us why he is chayav. On the other hand, by the case of pikadon, kofer bakol is a claim that he would have made, and he'd be patur, and therefore moder b'miktzat should be patur because of the migo. That's the answer is no, because over there, he chayav by kofer bakol, because me'u zume'iz. So in summary, according to the Riva, any claim that could be made without the person feeling any angst about the claim, for instance, a case of a pikadon, where the other party doesn't know, like the case of Nansu, where he has no idea what happened, and even though it's a complete denial of liability, over there, he will be chayav because there's no mitigating force that wouldn't allow him to make such a claim. And therefore, when he makes the claim, he could equally be lying as telling the truth. Therefore, by kofer akol, in the cases of a claim that it fits into the world of pikadon, you will be chayav. Now that you're chayav by kofer bakol, you're also chayav by moda b'miktzat because there is no migo. You have no better claim. If you were to deny the whole thing, you're going to take a shvuah. So then when you admit to a part of it, you also take a shvuah. By the case of milveh and claims that are associated with milveh, even if it's by a shomer, where you're denying something that the other party knows the real truth about, over there, there is a mitigating force that you would be uncomfortable denying the whole thing. That discomfort makes it that you will not make a plain claim of kofar bakol unless you really mean it. Therefore, if you make a claim of kofar bakol, you are patur. Then, you should have then, through amigo, also been patur by mode b'mitzat, because you have a better claim of denying the whole thing. Now that you admit it to half, we should definitely believe you. That's the explanation of Rabbah, why this mode b'mitzat is different, and that it doesn't rely, or it's not available, the other option, the migo, which is the better claim of kofar bakol, is not really open to you, because you feel inhibited from making such a claim, because of the fact that he knows the truth. The only thing that the Riva does add in the end, is that any claim of fira, of total denial, is subject to being patur, even in a case of meyiz umeyiz, because that is the gzerat hakatuv, that it's only by modem mitzat and not kofar bakol. But a case of nansu, where you're not denying the whole thing, you're not saying lo ayu dvarim me'olam, but you're saying, yes, it happened, but I'm exercising my right as a shomer to claim nansu, again, there you'll be comfortable making such a claim, and therefore you'll be chayav for that quote-unquote type of kofar bakol. So now, your question is, if people are smart, over time they'll figure out that if they're kofar bakol, they'll get out of the problem. They won't have to take a shvuah. If they're modeh b'mitzat, they will have to take a shvuah. So this works for a period of time until people get smart and figure out that the logic dictates against being modeh b'mitzat because they end up in a better situation if he's kofar bakol. For that reason, Rav Nachman, who's a dayan, institutes a shvuat heset, which is a shvua midrabanan, that even by kofar akol, you're going to have to take a shvua. So in order to avoid that problem of people gaming the system, Rav Nachman introduces the shvua for kofar bakol in order to make it that the claim of kofar bakol lands you in the same position as modeh b'mitzat, which is a shvua. One will be a shvua d'oraita, one will be a shvua d'rabanan, but either way you land with the shvua, so it closes off that avenue of making the claim of kofar bakol just to get out of the shvuah. But that's a much later institution to put in the shvuat heset. So now, those are the three different explanations we have of the Gemara. And then we have Tani Rami Bar Chama, Arba'a Shomrim, the four Shomrim, Tzrichim Kfira B'Miksat, V'Hoda'a B'Miksat. Once again, he agrees with Rav Chir Ba'Abo that you need both Kfir B'Miksat and Hoda'a B'Miksat. It's not enough, like we are saying over here, according to Reb Chir Bar Yosef, who says Eruv Parshiot Kan, which is that you can have a claim of Nansu without any modeh b'mitzat. That modeh b'mitzat is not a requirement when it comes to claims that are solely based on pikadon, according to the Riva. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the difference in opinion is that in the case of Reb Chir Bar Yosef, he only requires modeh b'mitzat. He does not require kfir b'mitzat. So he only requires two animals to be here. One where you say nanas, and one where you say, I owe it to you. And these opinions here will say you need modeh b'mitzat and kfir b'mitzat need three animals. Modeh b'mitzat, kfir b'mitzat, and nansu, because they require also a kfira, any claim of pikadon. And Rashi's explanation, the difference will be, because of Erev Parshiot, by way Rashi explains it, that modeh b'mitzat was only applicable by milveh, not by pikadon. These opinions believe that modeh b'mitzat applies by pikadon as well. And so that's the difference between Rami Bar Chama and Rav Chir Bar Abba's opinion versus Rav Chir Bar Yosef. Rav Chir Bar Yosef, depending on what you think he thinks, then what Rami Bar Chama or the implications of Rami Bar Chama and Rav Chir Bar Abba are different. So again, the Riva says that there's no need for modeh b'mitzat by claims specific to pikadon. That is what we're disagreeing with here and saying you do need modeh b'mitzat by those claims. Rabbeinu Tam who says that modeh b'mitzat is needed by everything. The addition here is that not only do you need modeh b'mitzat, you also need kfir b'mitzat. And according to Rashi, who says it only applies by milveh, they're saying that's not true. It also applies by pikadon. So the four shomrim all need kfir b'mitzat, hoda b'mitzat, ve'eluhein. What are the four shomrim? Shomer chinam, person who watches or is entrusted with an object without any compensation. Shoel, a borrower. Nosei sachar, someone who is paid to watch an object. Vasocher, and someone who rents. Amarova, my time of Rami Bar Chama. What is the reasoning behind Rami Bar Chama's position that you need modeh b'mitzat in all of these instances? Shomer Chinam ve'adjektiv be. Shomer Chinam, the pasuk of Ki Huzeh, is written right in the middle of the parshiyah of Shomer Chinam. So that's how you know Shomer Chinam needs more of a mikset. If you don't believe Eruv Parshiyot here, that means that it's applicable by Shomer Chinam, and Shomer Chinam requires modu b'miksat. Shomer Sachar, Yalif Nitina, Nitina mi Shomer Chinam. We have Gzera Shava, the Parshiyah of Shomer Chinam begins, Ki Yitain Ish Areo Kesef O'Kelim Lishmor. And Parshiyah of Shomer Sachar begins, Ki Yitain Ish Areo Chamor Ashor Aseh, V'chol Be'ma Lishmor. So Yitain, Yitain, Nitina, Nitina, Gzera Shava, they have the same din. Then, Shoel, the borrower, which you asked about before, there it says, V'chi Yish'al. That's the third Parshiyah that's found in Parshiyah Mishpatim. It begins with a Vav Achibur. And there it says, Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. That Vav Achibur says that whatever is true by the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sachar is also applicable by a Shoel. So Migzeret HaKatuv, the Shoel also has a din of Modeh B'miksat. Socher, a renter. Ilaman Damar Kishomer Sachar. If it's according to one who says that he's a Shomer Sachar, Hainu Shomer Sachar. We already established that Shomer Sachar needs Modeh B'miksat. Ilaman Damar Kishomer Chinam. It's according to one who says that he's a Shomer Chinam. Hainu Shomer Chinam. We already established that a Shomer Chinam has to do Modeh B'miksat. And therefore, that's the opinion of Rami Bar Chama and Rav Chir Ba'aba over here, that you need Modeh B'miksat even by the cases of Shomrim or even by the cases of Pikadon. Now we have another memra from Rav Chir Ba Yosef. Before we were having memros from Rav Chir Ba'aba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Then we had Rav Chir Ba Yosef's statement, which argued on that of Rav Chir Ba'aba and Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara begins another memra from Rav Chir Ba Yosef. Now that we already brought him in, here's another memra in this context. I'm Rav Chir Ba Yosef, a person who makes a claim of it was stolen in order to exempt himself from having to make payment. He's only chayav if he's actually utilized the object or, in essence, misappropriated the object before he takes the shvuah. My taima, what's the reason that you say this? It's because the psukim by Shomer Chinam say, v'nikrav balabait el Elohim, the balabait will come to the dayanim, im lo shalach yadom melechad reyu. And what does he have to tell them? That he didn't misappropriate, but he didn't utilize the object. Michlau, from that you would infer, di shalach bayad, michayev, that if he did use it or utilize it, he is chayav. Lememra, de bishalach bayad, askina. That tells you that the case here, or what the story is with this Shomer Chinam is, he's taking a shvuah, that it was stolen. But in truth, what he really did was, he took it for himself, he utilized it himself. Shalach bayad. So therefore, what Rav Chir Ba Yosef says is, a prerequisite to be chayav, kefel, for toein tenat ganav, is that he was sholeach yad. That is the way that you are chayav. Amalu Rav Chir Ba Aba, Hacham Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have Rav Chir Ba Aba, who before was quoting all these members of the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says that Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with you. He says, Bo meret alav usashanu. Even if the animal is standing over its trough and eating, you still have to pay kefo betoein tanat ganav. Or in essence, Rabbi Yochanan says this, you don't need shlichut yad. Just the fact that you made the claim and it's found with you, that is enough. So Amar Lei Rav Zera, Rav Chir Ba Aba, Rav Zera's sister, Rav Chir Ba Aba, can you clarify for me what Rabbi Yochanan meant? Davka b'meret al usak amar? Is he saying only in a case where the animal's over its trough are you chayav kefo for toein tanat ganav? Aval shalach bayad kana. But on the other hand, if he was shalach yad, he was koneet as a gazlan. It's easy to gazlan and he's koneet. Ushvua lo mahan yibay klum. Therefore, the shvua is meaningless in that case because his shlichud yad made him to a gazlan. And when he takes the shvua, he's actually telling the truth. He says that it was stolen already, meaning that he stole it already because it's already in his possession. He's taking a shvua about something that's already his. And therefore, the shvuah is meaningless in that context, and he would not be chayav kefel. Odoma, afilu omedet ala vusak amar. Which he's saying also a case of omedet ala vusak. Not to the exclusion of the case where he's shleach bayad. He's saying not only shleach yad, but also when the animal's standing on its trough, you are chayav. Amalei zulo shamati. I didn't hear an answer to that question. Kiyotze ba shamati. But I did hear something similar from which you could extrapolate the answer that you need. Damar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hatoein tanat avad v'nishba. A shomer that says it was lost. He makes a claim that the object that was deposited with him was lost. It has to be a shomer chinam that we're speaking about here, because otherwise it would not get him out of payment. So he says it was lost. V'chazar v'tan tanat ganav. And then afterwards he goes ahead and makes a claim that it was stolen. No, I didn't really get lost. It was stolen. Vinishba, and he takes the second shvua. Ubo Edim, and Edim come along and incriminate him that he took it himself. Patur, he doesn't have to pay kefil in that case. He's not patur legamre. He has to pay the keren, he has to pay the object back, but he's patur from paying kefil. My time, huh? What's the reason that he doesn't have to pay kefil? He lied under oath and said that it was lost. Then he lied under oath and said it was stolen. That lie under oath that it was stolen is toein tanat ganav. Toein tanat ganav, that's caught red-handed, has to pay kefil. Why does he have to pay kefil here? La mishum dekana b'shvua rishona. It must be because he was koneh the object with the first shvua that he took. I mean, the first shvua that he took, which is a lie, that shvua that is a lie generates a case of gazlan. He basically becomes a gazlan at that moment. The way Rashi explains it is, l'tcheye bon sin. The moment he takes that false shvua by fact that he said it was lost and it really is in his hand, he becomes a gazlan at that moment and is chayav for everything, on sin from that point forward. Because we saw Rav Sheshet before, Rav Sheshet that said, a kofer bi pikadon, aseh alav gazlan. If one denies having a pikadon, he becomes a gazlan without a shvua. Becomes a gazlan right away. That's what Rav Sheshet said. So what we say over here is, v'hecha d'ishtaba kol shekein. Everybody agrees. So that's the sheet of Rav Sheshet. And we argued about whether Rav Sheshet is right or not. Whether you need a shvua to generate a gazlan. But Rav Sheshet was saying where there was no shvua. But if you take a shvua denying the fact that you owe the money, everyone agrees in that case, you're a gazlan. Well, once you're a gazlan, it's yours. When you take the second shvua, it is meaningless. The shvua of Tonei Tanat Ganav is a shvua after the fact. It's not meaningful anymore. So therefore, I'm going to extrapolate from this and tell you, where you take a false shvua about an aveda, then you are a gazlan. You take a shvua about ganav after that, meaningless. So let's say the same thing by shlichut yad. Shlichut yad is equated to a gazlan. If you're shaleach yad before you take the shvua, you're a gazlan before you took the shvua. If you're a gazlan before you took the shvua, the second that shvua is meaningless. Toein tanat ganav is meaningless. That's what he wants to extrapolate from this. There's no difference between a shvua of aveda and shlichut yad. They both make you into a gazlan. Once you're a gazlan, taking a shvua after that is meaningless. That's what we learn from this, that toein tanat ganav, after you've already lied under oath, or made a shaleach yad, you've stolen it literally, you've taken it and utilized it, you're a gazlan already, you're chayav bon sin, when you take a shvua, you take a shvua about something that's yours. Something that already belongs to you because you stole it. And therefore the shvua will not obligate you in kefil. That's what he wants to extrapolate from this. Amalei, he says, you cannot conclude that from this. Lo. Ho'el v'yatza yedei balim b'shvua rishona. The real reason is not because he is considered to be a gazlan after he takes the first shvua, but rather the reason is the first shvua was accepted by the balim. He paid the balim with the first shvua. That means that once he's paid the balim the shvua, there's no claim left against him. If there's no claim left against him when he takes a shvua, that's not shvua to dayanim. Nor is b'chayev kefil. We already said this in yesterday's daf. B'chayev kefil, you have to take a shvua in Beit Din by the demand of Beit Din. So even here, even though Beit Din's demanding the shvua, there's no real demand for shvua because there's no claim against him. Once he gave the first shvua, the second shvua was unnecessary. He didn't even have to take the second shvua. And that's what Rashi explains over here. It's not because he's a gazlan, it's in his possession by the case of two shvuot, where he took a shvua about that it was lost and then comes back and takes a shvua that it was stolen. Since he already discharged his obligation with regards to the first shvua, that's how he got out of the problem from the first Beit Din. That second shvua is no longer considered to be shvua tayyadayinim, to be mechayiv in kefil, because since he already took the first shvua, and he's already yotzei, whatever he had to do for the balim, the second shvua is completely unnecessary. And since it's unnecessary, it's not shvua tayyadayinim. And as Tosfot goes on to explain, even though he admits that the first shvua that he took was a lie, nevertheless, einu chayav min adin lishava pam shniyah. He's not obligated from the letter of the law to take the second shvua. Shenignav, that it was stolen. Kimo, shechozer v'toein. Like he's now claiming that it was really stolen. Elenaman shelo b'shvua. He's believed, even without a shvua, to say shenignav. Bemigo, de'ibayamar b'met nishbati v'ya patur. Because of the fact that he could lie and continue to lie and say that it was really lost and my first shvua was the truth. if he comes along and admits that he lied with the first wise Neman Bemigo with the second claim that it was stolen because he had a better claim. He could have just said, yeah, whatever I said before was true, and he's done. Instead, he comes back and says, listen, I lied under oath the first time, but it was really stolen. He's believed then because he had a much better claim just to say my first shvuah was true. The fact that he is the one who's incriminating himself gives him a migo, the ability to say that I have a better claim I could have made. If I wanted to lie, I would have really lied. So I must be telling the truth now because I'm telling you I lied under oath before, but am now believed for nigdav. Turns out to be this counterintuitive situation in which he's admitting to lying under oath, and that gives him believability now with whatever statement he makes afterwards. So even though he admits that he's willing to lie under oath, he's now believed because he could have made a different claim or could have lied better. Since he didn't lie better and he says, I lied under oath and it was stolen, we believe him that it's stolen. That's how the Balei HaTosafot explain it. So for that reason, second shvuah is not meaningful, and therefore you can't extrapolate from that to the case of Rabbi Yochanan when he said it's omedet al vusa. Was that exclusively the case where you're chayav for toin tanat ganav? Or was that in addition to the case of Shlichut Yad? From this we can't draw any conclusions, because even though Shlichut Yad might make you into a gazlan, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be chayav for toin tanat ganav. At least we can't conclude that from here yet. It's my nami. We have a similar conclusion or way to explain this case of two shvuot, which is Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Lo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a toin tanat aveda bepikadon v'nishba. Person is toin a tanat aveda by pikadon and takes a shvuah to that effect. He said it was lost and takes a shvuah. V'chazar v'ta'an tanat gneva v'nishba. Then he comes back and says, I don't know, it was really stolen. It takes a shvuah to that effect. U'bao edim, and edim kam patur. Why is he patur? So here you have it explicit in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The reason is because the first shvuah discharged his obligation. Since it discharges obligation, you can't have a toin tanat ganav. Again, the way that Rashi and Tosfot explain it is that the second shvuah is meaningless. It either because it was unnecessary, he didn't have to take the shvuah at all. The other way to explain it is that once he is toin tanat aveda, and then is deemed to be a gazlan, once the object is in his possession, the toin tanat ganav does not generate kefel because he can't be a ganav anymore. He was already a gazlan. He already has the object here. You can only be a ganav when toin tanat ganav is in a situation where it makes you patur. You only be chayav kefel where you use the shvuah to make yourself patur. Over here, the shvuah is not going to help you to make yourself patur because you're already chayav with the onsim because you're a gazlan. And therefore, the toin tanat ganav does not help in this case. So since the shvuah doesn't help to make you patur, it also won't obligate you in a kefel. As opposed to the case of shlichut yad, where the shvuah might still have impact, because you could still make a claim against the individual, even though he was shaleach yad. You can bring him to Beit Din. You can demand that he respond to your claims. And since that's the case, maybe over there, the shvuah would be meaningful even after shlichut yad, and you would be chayav kefel even though there was a shlichut yad that preceded it. Amar Rav Sheshet, a toein tanat ganav bepikadon, person who makes a claim of ganeva in a case of a deposited object with him, kevin sheshalach bo yad patur. As soon as he is shaleach yad in this item, meaning before the shvuah, he is patur. My time, what is the reason? The Baal HaBayit will go to the Dayanim. Im lo shalach yado, that he was in shaleach yad, meaning that a prerequisite for this claim to be meaningful is that he was not shaleach yad. So as opposed to Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef, who says that shlichut yad is a prerequisite to be chayav for toin tanat ganav, because the Torah says he wasn't shaleach yad, implying that the shvuah includes that item in it, or the way to be chayav is to be shaleach yad. This is what Rav Sheshet says, just the opposite. The Torah is saying that a prerequisite for being chayav kefel is a case where you're not shaleach yad. Not the opposite. If you were shaleach yad, then you're going to be chayav kefel. But rather, the inference that you should draw from here is that the prerequisite or the basis for the shvuah is that you didn't steal it, that you didn't misappropriate or utilize it. That's a prerequisite for you taking a shvuah of geneva. So therefore, the Torah says, Nikah Baal HaBayit Leim Elo Shalach Yado, HaShalach Yado Patur. Had he been Shalach Yad, then this whole Parshia would not be relevant. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says to Rav Sheshet, Hello, Shalosh Shvot Mashbin Oto. When a Shomer Chinam takes a Shvuah, these three components are in the Shvuah. Shvuah shlo pashati ba. A shvuah that I was not negligent with it, because the shomer chinam is chayav shia. Shvuah shlo shalakti bayad. A shvuah that I did not steal it, utilize it, I did not misappropriate it. Shvuah sheinu bishuti. And the last one is a shvuah that it's not in my possession. So you're trying to create a situation in which the shomer chinam cannot make any claim that is not covered over here. The shvuot are covering all possibilities. As Rashi says over here, Shwa shalo pashati is bishmirato shenigneva, because he could make a claim of gneva and be telling the truth, but the reason it was stolen is because he was a poshea, he was negligent. So we make him think of shwa that he wasn't negligent, because then the claim of gneva doesn't help him. Because otherwise, if we didn't make him think of shwa about pshia, he could make a claim, oh, it was stolen, and he'd be patur, even though the theft came about because of his negligence. So we say, take a shvua, shalo pashati, that you weren't negligent. Then, shvua shalo shalakti bayad, take that shvua, because he could take a shvua, that lo pashati, I wasn't negligent about it, and he could take a shvua that it was stolen, but it could be that he utilized it before, or that he became a gazlan on it before all of this took place. And then he has to take a shvua, she'ina bershuti, that it's not in his possession, because we want to make sure that he's not taking the object for himself, and stealing it for himself. So therefore, we need all three of these shvuot in order to make sure that there is no question about his nemanut, his believability here, when he says it was stolen by a third party. My love, wouldn't you say here, shvua shalo shalakti beyad, dumya de shvua shayna birshuti. The shvua shalo shalakti yad should be very similar to the shvua that it's not in my possession. Ma shvua shayna birshuti. And the shvua, when he says it's not in my possession, kimigla milta de ita birshute. When we find out that it really is in his possession, chayav kefel, af shvua shalo shalakti bayad, kimiglei milta de shalach bayad. If it becomes apparent that we find out evidence that he did, was shaleach yad bayad, chayav, he should be chayav kefel. Supportive of what Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef said before, that the Tuein Tanat Pikadon includes within it shlichut yad. Amar leilo, shvua shalo shalakti bayad, dumya shalo shpashati ba. There's another shvua over there, and that's what it's compared to. The shvua shalo shalakti bayad is adjacent, juxtaposed to the case of shvua shalo pashati ba. Ma shvua shalo pashati ba, kimiglei milta de pasho ba, patur mi kefel. In a case where he takes a shvua that he was not negligent, and we find out he really was negligent, he doesn't pay kefel then, he has to pay the karen back, but he doesn't pay kefel. Af shvua shalo shalakti bayad, kimiglei milta de shalach bayad, patur mi kefel. So too, by the case of shlichud yad, even if there is identifying of him being shalech yad afterwards, he won't be chayav kefil and he'll be patur. So because shvuah of shlichud yad sits between the other two shvuot, the question is, which one do you compare it to? Do you compare it to the case of einu b'shuti, which does result in kefil if he's caught red-handed? Or do I compare it to the shvuah shalo pashati ba, where if he's caught red-handed, it doesn't result in kefil? So it's not determinant because it sits in the middle. Therefore, you can't prove anything from the fact that the shomer chinam takes three shvuot. I could explain it your way, and I could explain it my way. And therefore, it does not undermine what I said. Rav Sheshet says that the Toyin Tanat Ganav is only Chayav if he wasn't Sholeach Yad. So you have a fundamental machloket here between Rav Chir Bar Yosef and Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet, who believes that Shlichud Yad takes you out of the Parsha of Toyin Tanat Ganav because you become a Gazlan, and therefore Ganeva is no longer relevant. Whereas Rav Chir Bar Yosef believes that Shlichud Yad is a part and parcel of the Chiyuv of Toyin Tanat Ganav. In order to be chayav in Toyin Tanat Ganav, you have to be shaleach yad. That's a part of the process of Toyin Tanat Ganav, because that's what the Torah demands when it says, imlo shalach yado b'malachad reyu, that he didn't take it, implying that the case that we're speaking about is a case where he did take it or he did misappropriate it. All right, we're going to stop here. Three lines on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Bet.